So let us continue with our studies. Today's message I called The Gospel According to Torah. Last week we spoke about a decision that everyone must make, a choice to follow in the footsteps of Moses, who was a type of Messiah Yeshua, or of Korah, who was a type of our human sinful nature in rebellion against God. Today I want to share the joy of our salvation when we choose to follow the Messiah and the God of Israel. Today we live in the world with a dreadful enemy who is constantly on the attack. He attacks our faith, our calling from God. Even sincere believers come under his attack, tempted to lose the joy of God from their hearts, to lose his peace and presence from their lives. As long as man has walked this earth, he has been at the target of attacks. Today this enemy is devious and cunning, telling people that God is no longer fashionable, that in a modern world such as ours, God is just out of date. How do such ideas stack up against the message of last week, which spoke about how a believer can become lost in a wilderness of trials, can lose sight of his vision, can forget the purpose of God's call on his life? So today I want to redirect our eyes to Yeshua, to help us return to the joy of our salvation, to help us recall the happiness that one enjoys as a child of God. As I think back on my fascinating story and journey of faith, the path I have traveled since I began my walk with God, I again experienced those same sensations I experienced 30 years ago, those same impressions that were mine when I first invited Yeshua into my heart. I clearly remember what drew me to faith. The one thing above all else which captured my heart and brought me to repentance. You see, before I came to the Lord, I once believed that God was very distant and quite indifferent to me. He was somewhere out there, maybe up in heaven, watching us all and waiting for any misstep so he could drop the hammer on us. So it was my belief. I knew about the Ten Commandments and about the punishment that followed the violation of God's law. I therefore concluded it was critical that I violate in such a way that he would not see me or be able to catch me. I'm reminded of a story from Genesis about Adam and Eve hiding under a bush to escape detection. Do you remember how did it go? It is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It's a very interesting place of scripture. And they heard the sound of Adonai Elohim, Adam and Eve. So they heard the sound of Adonai Elohim going to and fro in the garden in the wind of the day. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai Elohim in the midst of the tree of the garden. Of course, we know that guilt and shame was the reason they hid from the face of God. They felt the way we all do when sin steals joy from our hearts and shalom from our lives. I have a question. Did they really think they could hide from the Lord? I did. I thought this way. This is what I believed before my repentance. I had no idea that there was another way to live. No adoption available into a life filled with forgiveness, joy, happiness, peace of God. So what was the clincher that brought me to repentance? Why did I follow God in my life? And I can tell you, I can share with you. Not the fear of punishment. not in a feeling of guilt and condemnation, but simply the captivating love of God. I gave my future into the hands of a loving Heavenly Father. I trusted the ownership of me and overwhelming grace and mercy that came to this earth in our Messiah Yeshua. So let me briefly share my testimony of how I came to faith. It will be the very brief story of my coming to the Lord, when I came to the Lord. So I was born and grew up in Ukraine, which was then part of the Soviet Union, a country with a communist government which persecuted believers in God at the time. We were taught that being a believer was criminal and relic of an old and harmful history. I still remember the laughter of my classmates in school directed towards believers who were considered to be stupid and abnormal. So I grew up in such an environment which allowed no place for God. Although I knew intuitively that He exists, and I prayed to Him for help when I was in a real jam, of course. I had a wonderful, loving family with intelligent and educated parents. My father was an engineer and well-respected in our city. My mother was a neurologist. Of course, we were completely non-religious, with no mention ever made of faith or the Bible. I don't remember anything. So it would seem that everything was fine with me. My childhood was happy and without clouds, and I was surrounded by the love of my family. Everything was fine. But deep inside of me, there was always an emptiness that I could not explain and I could not feel. I felt unnecessary and useless because I felt no peace in my heart. It was much later I finally discovered that only the Holy Spirit could fit in that empty hole, only the love of the Lord. So when I turned 16, it was soon after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And about the time someone mailed us a small book, it was a New Testament, Brit HaChadasha, published and distributed by the Gideon Society, which some of you have supported with your contributions over the years. Someday in heaven, I hope to find the man who mailed that New Testament and thank him for changing my life. So when my mother saw that New Testament, she immediately hid it, forbidding me to read it or to even touch it. But, you understand, of course, the best way to get a 16-year-old boy do something is to tell him not to do it. I could not find peace until I found that book. One evening I did find it and decided to check it out. Check this forbidden book. So when I read the first lines, I understood almost nothing. And in my irritation, I threw the book into the table. In fact, I threw it so hard, it slid on the wall and fell off the back side of the table. But after a few days, I felt an insatiable desire to continue reading this forbidden book. I remember that I had to kneel down and crawl deep under the table to find the book, realizing only later that this was the first time I bowed to God and His Word. This time I mastered several chapters from the New Testament, and this time I threw this book very carefully on the table so that it would not fall off behind the table again. But I was not careful enough, and for sure it went behind the table. The next day I had to kneel to God's Word again as I retrieved it from beneath the table. And remember, please, that I have no recollection of someone telling me about God. Nobody. But I do remember a day when I first discovered this story from Matthew chapter 25. So let us open Matthew 25 verses 31 through 34. This was my story. This was my day. This was my moment. This was my encounter with God. Matthew 25 verses 31 through 34. Now when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And remember, I wasn't a believer. I wasn't religious. I didn't know anything about the Lord at that time. But at that moment, I experienced supernatural vision from God. I did not know what I was seeing because I was absolutely not religious and knew nothing about visions. But suddenly, I saw myself, I felt myself, I can't explain how I felt, but I felt myself among the people who are on the left side of the Messiah. Now, today, after 30 years, I remember very distinctly the feelings that overwhelmed me. I remember everything. I remember I felt absolutely lost, abandoned, condemned. I saw many people with their heads bowed in shame. People who all their lives had denied God and fought with Him. Who did not believe and now hear the war, standing in His court. I heard people crying. So I stood there and I was asking myself one question over and over again. And I believe it was the same question everyone else was asking. Why didn't I think ahead when I still had time? Why didn't I understand the importance of knowing God? Why didn't I seek Him when it was still possible? I remember I was swallowed up by a feeling of hopelessness. No hope, nothing. Only condemnation. And then suddenly I found myself among those who stood on the right side of the Messiah Yeshua. And I remember waves of joy and happiness rolled over me. Everyone around me was dancing with joy and glorifying God for His mercy and forgiveness. I was overwhelmed with a sense of God's presence and a sense of complete acceptance and complete forgiveness. Today, after 30 years, I still recall the only question on my heart. God, why did you do this? Why did you forgive me? Why did you have mercy on me? How did I deserve your love and mercy? I'm such an unclean sinner. I do not deserve your love. This was the question in my head. And suddenly everything was gone. I was again in my room, lying on the bed. Everything around me was the same. But I was completely changed. I was born of the Holy Spirit. The Lord filled my heart with His love and His light, healed my soul and set me free from the condemnation of sin. I remember tears gushed from my eyes and I fell on my knees before God, thanking Him for everything, for the fact that He opened up to me even when I did not seek Him and did not know Him. I want to share it with you. When I realized how He loves me, how He understands me completely, and that He will never condemn me and is always ready to help, His love won my heart. not the fear of punishment, not any other desires, but his love and mercy for me captivated me. I have a question for us. What else can we wish for? In many other religions of this earth, you must die for that God. But the Lord of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, gave his son Yeshua, who left the throne of heaven and descended on this sinful and corrupt earth in order to give his precious life, his redeeming blood for us, so we can live for him. For us, it was Yeshua himself who died so we can live for him. He paid that price. We can think of today's chapter from the Torah as the gospel of the Torah, the good news of the coming Messiah from God himself, revealed in the history of the journey of the Jewish people in the wilderness. And so today I want to read some scripture from the New Testament, Brit HaChadashah, which draw direct parallels to today's Torah reading. These verses tell us very clearly about the sacrifice of the Messiah, about the mercy of God, about forgiveness, about the Holy Spirit. So let us open together John chapter 3, book of Yohanan chapter 3. John chapter 3 describes a very provocative and prophetic conversation between Yeshua and a religious leader from the Pharisee party named Nicodemus. So Yeshua and Nicodemus were talking about it, the subject of today's chapter from the Torah, Parshat Hukat, regulation, the book of Numbers, chapters 19 through 21. And everything that Yeshua said to Nicodemus was from our chapter, our Torah chapter from today. So let us read John chapter 3 from verse 13 to verse 18. So here's the conversation. No one has gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Son of God, Ben Elohim. What mercy and love has been shown to us that the Son of God died, taking upon himself all our sins. Isn't this God's true love for us sinners? When Yeshua was dying on the cross, the Heavenly Father left him, turned his back upon Yeshua, because God could not look upon the terrible sin and wickedness of all mankind for all time, which at that moment laid upon Yeshua's shoulders. I cannot conceive of the weight of that burden. I cannot conceive of my Father turning his back on me at such a time. But Yeshua was willing to become sin in our place, to become the Passover lamb, to become an atoning sacrifice that bore our punishment and bought our life with his death. I would like to read Mark chapter 15, started with verse 31. Mark 15, 31. Likewise, the ruling Kohanim, priests, along with the Torah scholars, were also mocking him among themselves. He saved others, they were saying, but he can't save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the stake, so we may see and believe. Even those executed with him were ridiculing him. When the sixth hour had come, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" Now I would like to really say with all my heart, can you imagine how blind we were? How blind and ignorant was Nicodemus, the great teacher of Israel, who studied the Torah all his life? How bitter and blind were the leaders of Israel, the sages of the Torah, the religious leaders of their time? How blind were the rest of the Jewish people who stood at the foot of the cross and looked from the bottom up at the crucifixion and suffering of Yeshua? And to the last moment, they all judged, all laughed at him, at the same time did not even remember, did not draw any parallel with the passages recorded in Torah that we have read this week, because this is a picture from today's Torah portion. There is a prophetic side to the story of the Jewish people traveling through the wilderness. So let's take a look at that. It is today's Torah chapter, Numbers 21, and let us read from verse 4 through verse 9. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Sea of Reeds in order to go round the land of Edom. The spirit of the people became impatient along the way. The people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us out from Egypt to die in the wilderness? Because there is no bread, no water, and our very spirits detest the despicable food." So Adonai sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against Adonai and you. Pray to Adonai for us, that he may take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. And Adonai said to Moses, let us remember, the Lord said to Moses, "Make yourself a fiery snake and put it on a pole, on a stake. Whenever anyone who has been beaten will look at it, he will live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it in a pole. And it happened that whenever a snake bit anyone and he looked at the bronze snake, he lived. What a good news! How could any picture be clearer to us of Yeshua, his crucifixion, and his death on the cross, that this one of the brazen serpent, which Moses placed on a cross, on a stake, in the midst of the camp of the Jewish people? Think about this. At the time when Moses was told by the Lord to put the serpent, hide on the pole, or probably it was a cross, it was a prophetic act, and Moses had no idea about such execution on the cross because it was not yet invented. These were people who had lost their faith, had become weak and faith hardened in the desert. That's when the snakes appeared. Snakes, the picture of sin in the Bible. And they began to bite people, and people began to die. Such a clear illustration of the fall of mankind. and of death, which entered the whole world through sin. And there is only one solution, only one salvation from this death. Right in the middle of the camp, Moses placed a pole with a bronze snake at the top. A reminder of human nature, a picture recalling the sin which resulted in the fall of Adam and Eve. Anyone suffering from snake bite had only to humble himself. Come to the center of the camp. Believe Moses and God, and in faith, look at the brazen serpent. Instantly, the poison of the snake lost its strength, and the person survived. It was the only salvation from poison and death. I would like to tell you the story, true fact, truth. Anyone born by a natural birth is born a victim of snake bite. All have the lethal poison of sin. Salvation is available to any who look in faith to Yeshua, as he is the only antidote for the snake bite of sin. Only he antidote. This is why in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, this was Yeshua telling to Nicodemus, the Torah scholar, the teacher of Israel. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Yeshua reminds him this story. He reminded him the story of serpent. He said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You can imagine how Yeshua, speaking with Nicodemus, used this Torah account to teach about his own death and the atonement of sin. I'm not surprised that Nicodemus became a committed follower of Yeshua and a deeply believing Messianic Jew when he saw with his own eyes Yeshua's death and remembered the conversation with Yeshua. You and I were in that crowd that stood at the foot of the cross and laughed at the Messiah Yeshua. We watched his life spill out on the wrought timbers, and we heard him pray, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they are doing. What love and mercy the Lord has shown us. How wonderful that he opened our eyes, so that in seeing Yeshua we can trust him and accept his healing love into our hearts. It would have been enough. But there's still more. Remember that conversation Yeshua told Nicodemus that he needed to be born of the Holy Spirit. It is the same John chapter 3, the same chapter, the same conversation of Yeshua with Nicodemus. Let us read John 3, started with verse 3. Yeshua answered him, Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus said to him. He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Yeshua answered, Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I said to you, you all must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. And now in the very next chapter, let us read chapter 4. Yeshua spoke about the Holy Spirit with the woman from Samaria. Let us read a couple verses from chapter 4. This is also a very interesting place of scripture. John 4, 10, 13 and 25, 26. So verse 10. Yeshua replied to her, to this woman, Samaritan woman. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Verse 13. Yeshua replied to her, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life. Verse 25. The woman tells him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Anointed One. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And verse 26, Yeshua tells her, I, the one speaking to you, I am. Yeshua explained to this woman how she and the rest of the inhabitants of this city who came and believed in him would drink living water, the water of the Holy Spirit that proceeded from him. I have a question. Can we also see that picture in today's Torah chapter? Good news from the Torah. It is in Numbers chapter 20. Today's Torah chapter. Numbers chapter 20 started with verse 6. So Moses and Aaron went from before the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces because of rebel. Then the glory of Adonai appeared to them. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and gather the assembly. You and your brother Aaron, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give out its water. You will bring out water from the rock, and you will give the community something to drink, along with their livestock. So Moses took the staff from before the presence of Adonai, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock and said, listen now, you rebels, must we bring you water from this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out, and the community and its livestock drank. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4? We read it last time. It said here, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah, Yeshua. The rock from which the rivers of living flesh water flowed, sufficient to water several million people and their livestock, is a type of the Messiah Yeshua. And water is a type of the Holy Spirit, of which there is enough for everyone. An inexhaustible source of living water from a stone, which is called the rock of our salvation. Remember Psalm 18. Adonai is my rock. And again, we see the incredible mercy and love of God, the gospel of Torah. During the rebellion of the people, the Lord does not want to punish them. He understands the pain and the emptiness in their hearts, and therefore shows his mercy by quenching their thirst. How it reminds us of times when we rebelled, grumbled, sinned, and did not even understand the real reason of our condition, our thirst, our hunger. Still, the Lord, in his great mercy, gave us his living water, the Holy Spirit, his life flowing within us. Imagine Nicodemus, who saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and remembered his conversation with the Messiah. Of course, this Pharisee, the religious leader of the Jewish people, became a follower of Yeshua, and even ministered to him as he came to perform the ceremony of Yeshua's burial. In John chapter 19, verses 39 and 40, we can read about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who had first visited Yeshua at night, in chapter 3 we read about it, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. When they took the body of Yeshua and wrapped it in linen with the spices, as is the Jewish burial custom. The truth is that Yeshua's words from the Torah changed the life and teachings of the spiritual leader of the Jews, who saw the Messiah and the gospel in the Torah. I call it the good news according to Torah. Likewise, Yeshua's love, his words to me, changed my life. Dear friends, you and I are happy people and blessed. Therefore, we cannot lose heart. We must not lose our faith. We must not become discouraged. The price has been paid for us. We are redeemed, forgiven. The Torah has been fulfilled in our lives. The Messiah lives in our hearts today. He has risen. And now today our goal is to follow him and be filled with the Holy Spirit and his presence, as our Messiah and Savior Yeshua told us to do. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your time. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. So let us pray together. Let us receive God's love, God's mercy in our lives. Yeverchecha Adonai veishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.